I'm Debbie Dashinger. Welcome to Dare to Dream. Be inspired to live big and bold and take action to turn your dreams into your reality. Go beyond obstacles and limits of your thinking. Accelerate results to catapult yourself to success. I'm a visibility expert who gives media makeovers to clients, booking them on media interviews and turning their books into international bestsellers with guaranteed results. Join me at DebbieDashinger.com. Dare to do great things. Dare to shine. It's all about you becoming a visionary and leading the pack. Welcome to your daring new life.
Oh, yes. Today's show is all about you matter. That's the message for today. You matter. And I'll tell you, not only is it clearly my message, but it's clearly also the universe's message, because I had decided, you know, things bubble up. It's either stuff I'm hearing out there, clients I'm working with, or maybe just the worldview that I'm feeling and sensing. So I knew that today I was going to open the show talking about reminding you to remember that you matter. Do you know that at my very early morning Legree Fitness exercise class, my favorite teacher, Ty, says, I have a message for you guys. He tells us a story that he walked past a sidewalk where somebody had written in chalk, and he was so busy going to get his smoothie, he didn't look. And then when he went and got his smoothie, he thought, oh, I really hope it's still there, and I hope it doesn't rain, because that looked pretty cool. Well, he got a smoothie, he went back, and sure enough, it hadn't rained. And there it was, and this is what he read to us, somebody who is a street sidewalk artist who goes around LA writing these things so all of us can see it and be reminded. And it says, just in case you have forgotten today, you matter. You are loved. You are worthy. You are magical. And it's hashtag Anna BW. I think she's got an Instagram account if you want to check her out. And Ty, thank you so much for being in alignment with myself, the universe, today about mattering. Hey, I was just featured as an icon of influence. And I was also featured in the ultimate directory of podcasters with the world's leading podcasters. Very cool and very honored. And today we have somebody I'm thrilled to have on the show. I feel like saying finally. A little later on, Philip Shepherd will be here. He's recognized as an international authority on embodiment. Philip travels the world teaching the embodiment process. It's a present process, a unique set of practices he's developed for getting us out of our heads and reconnected with the profound intelligence of the body. So Philip Shepherd on later on Dare to Dream. And I'm going to fill this in a little bit about the idea that you matter, because I really want you to receive this today. I think it's very important that people have this feeling that you know you're special, wonderful, and a piece of the puzzle of heaven here on earth. You do matter. And I believe strongly that encouraging yourself means empowerment. Now, on the one hand, we know from research that people are much better at work when they feel empowered. And that consists of having meaning on the job, having a sense of autonomy, which is pretty huge to me. I'm a freedom gal, a sense of confidence, and also knowing that you have an impact. What you do has an impact on the people that you're trying to help. That's a great recipe for success, for encouraging yourself, empowering yourself. And in order to be successfully autonomous, direction is required. And here's how you can get there. Acknowledge yourself. Encouragement involves the acknowledgement of what you are doing. So start off by telling yourself about your strong points. Remind yourself and acknowledge your efforts, your talents. You really are showing up. I know this for sure. And you may be extremely creative, extremely brilliant, and you're wonderful at coming up with new ideas. Acknowledge that. It's really easy for all of us in this minutiae, this crazy stimulus based society that we live in, to lose track of what we're doing right and to focus instead on what we're doing wrong. So mindfully encourage yourself, specifically and mindfully encourage yourself. And I will remind you that encouragement has two parts. Obviously, pointing out your obvious potential and then challenging yourself to succeed at a specific goal or dream that you dare to dream. You can motivate anybody, including yourself. And you can only encourage someone you actually believe in. So do believe, encourage yourself. Encouragement requires specificity. We don't encourage somebody to succeed. We don't encourage them because, that's motivation. What we do is encourage ourselves to succeed at a specific task, a specific action or step. Again, you don't encourage people to do that thing you think they're prepared to do because that's never occurred to them. Behind every successful people, every successful person is somebody who said, you know, you should try this. I think you'll be good at it. And here is how you can do it. So encouragement without guidance isn't encouragement. And when you encourage yourself, you don't just change how you work, you change the way you perceive your own abilities, which can change your career and your life. And that's a really big deal. So again, I offer for you the thought for today that you matter. You matter means you agree to encourage yourself, which means empowerment. Find all the things you're doing right and let yourself know about them. You deserve a daily pat on the back and positive direction. And again, as Ty and the sidewalk artist Anna BW shared, in case you've forgotten today, you matter. You're loved. You are worthy. You are magical. When we come back, Philip Shepherd is here to talk about radical wholeness. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
How do you comfort a grieving child? It's not easy, but the book, My Mommy is a Butterfly, facilitates the process by introducing your child to the concept of signs from the afterlife. These signs will prove to your child that their loved one is still around them and still loves them. The heartwarming story encourages your child to focus on the power of love and how it transcends death. My Mommy is a Butterfly will uplift your child with hope and resiliency. Your child will become empowered to learn that death is not only an ending, but also the beginning of a relationship where love never dies. Written by Michelle Bieber, My Mommy is a Butterfly is available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Whether you're a wine novice, a wine lover, or a wine specialist, you will love directsellers.com/debswinewonders because it's sourced from boutique artisan vineyards from around the world. Give the wines as gifts for colleagues to bring to social situations or just enjoy it with family and friends. The box of wines I've been receiving from directsellers.com/debswinewonders are superb, to be frank. They take care in the wine they choose. Their in-house wine experts ensure that the members get only the best. They've been tasting and selecting wine for over 15 years. The goal with this club is to send you wine that you love. Each month, our experts select great premium wines from wineries around the globe. Your satisfaction is guaranteed at directsellers.com/debswinewonders. That's direct, CELLARS.com/debswinewonders.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? Beingyouclass.com.
Tell the world about your product or business. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. The award-winning program is syndicated on over 60 stations, has a big following, and large listenership. If you're ready to expand your reach, become a sponsor or advertiser on Dare to Dream Radio. best rates, great results. Email at ads@debbie-yer.com. That's ads@debbie-yer.com.
This is Debbie Dashinger. Welcome back to Dare to Dream. Philip Shepard is here. He's the author of two groundbreaking books, New Self, New World, Recovering Our Senses in the 21st Century, and his newly published Radical Wholeness, The Embodied Present, and the Ordinary Grace of Being. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Philip has a passion for adventure, coupled with a deep connection to the body's intelligence, and he's had a burning desire for freedom his whole life. At 18, those passions took him from his native Canada to cycle alone through Europe, the Middle East, Iran, India, and Japan. He studied classical no theater in Japan. He designed and built several houses, co-founded an arts magazine called Onion, co-founded a theater company, wrote two internationally produced plays and a television documentary, and earned a reputation as a corporate coach. Philip today teaches workshops on embodied thinking and presence worldwide, and has also always been an actor and has played lead roles on stages in London, New York, Chicago, and Toronto. You can find out more about him at his name, philipshepard.com. Philip, welcome to Dare to Dream. It's wonderful to have you today.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here, Debbie. Thank you so much.
I am looking forward to this conversation on radical wholeness. I love the vibe about that. It's not just wholeness, it's radical wholeness.
The radical, you know, the word radical actually means root, which people, you know, it doesn't just mean rebellious as it's come to mean. It actually means root. So literally radical wholeness would mean rooted or grounded wholeness.
Thank you for explaining that. That was going to be my first question. So rooted or grounded wholeness. And radical also just has a vibration to it that sets it apart from everything else. And I think is a real commitment kind of thing. Someone who forges ahead makes a new path. So I like all of that put together. And let's relate that so people understand what you do today. I know you travel the world doing it. What is the specific work that you offer?
I guess the easiest way to explain it is I offer work that helps us get free of some of the cultural conditioning that, you know, you grow up with it the way a fish grows up in water and you don't even notice it, and yet it's inhibiting you. And one of the primary messages that our culture delivers is you should live in the head should take charge of your life, you should make all your decisions from the head, you should do all your thinking in the head. And it's been a long process in our culture, like literally thousands of years, getting out of the body and into the head. But it impedes our lives. It creates anxiety. It creates a sense of alienation. It creates frustration. And we lose our connection, not just with ourselves, with our neighbors, you know, but with the pulse of the natural world around us.
Yeah, that makes sense with the planet, with our everyday world, just being in it. And you say, yeah. Your work is about getting free of cultural conditions, and we are conditioned to use logic and stay in our head, which really creates alienation. You know, you've had a very not that life, a very adventurous and free-spirited background. I find it fascinating. So how did you go from there to the information and the wisdom that you now impart about an embodied present?
When I was 17 years old, I was involved with a theater company downtown Toronto and loved it, and was reading everything I could about theater. And one of the things I read was about this really ancient form of theater in Japan that's still being practiced, and it was developed 600 years ago. And it's you know, if you watch a play from this tradition today, you're seeing the same choreography, hearing the same music that you would have 600 years ago. So anyway, I was intrigued by what I wrote about it, and there was a no play coming. It's called No Theater. There was a no play coming to Montreal, which was just a six-hour bus ride away from me. So at 17, I hopped on a bus and went and saw this no play, and it shattered me. I mean, it was so emotionally potent and exquisitely beautiful, and I was completely baffled by it because I had no idea how it had had that effect on me, which was strange because I could parse theater. I could get a sense of what made what happen. And this, no idea. So that's one of the reasons I took off, as you say, on my bicycle through Europe and the Middle East and India and Japan, was to go and study, to find out what was happening in that form of theater that had such a powerful effect on me and was so inscrutable. And while in Japan, I discovered their concept of hara. Hara means the belly. That's how it translates into English. But you can't translate hara as belly, because in English, belly is that sort of troublesome area that's prone to indigestion and either embarrassment because of weight gain or vanity because of hours spent in the gym. In the Japanese culture, hara is something completely different. It's where you come home to yourself. It's where you go to attune to your profoundest truth. And in no theater, every gesture on that stage, every time a head turned and looked, it was looking from that place. And I had never in my life seen a human being so attuned to the world and to themselves. And so that's really what began my journey into embodiment, was that model presented by the Japanese, classical Japanese theater.
Fascinating. And I love that idea of coming home to yourself and your profound truth. How did you get around? So you have this amazing experience. You really set off on a big adventure at a young age, and you're on a bicycle. Did you take a plane to go from country to country with the bike, or how did you bridge all of that?
Well, I took a boat from England to France, and then I made my way by bike to Greece, and I wanted to see some of the islands. So I went to Rhodes on a boat and went to Cyprus. And then I found out getting from Cyprus to Beirut was really expensive. So I ended up getting work on a little Arab cargo boat with a cargo of peanuts and potatoes called the Saint Hilarion. Mm-hmm. And you had to pump it out every 2 hours or it would sink. And I just hung out with these guys for a couple of days, and it was beautiful. And they offered me a job. You know, I could to this day still be on that Arab cargo boat. But I was being called to Japan. So I landed in Beirut and then cycled my way to Iran. I got to Iran, and it was January, and there was so much snow, I just couldn't get over the pass. So I flew from Tehran to New Delhi and cycled through India and then flew to Japan. And cycled through Japan, which was itself magical. I was gone 2 years in all.
2 years, no kidding.
Yeah.
And so once you have this profound awakening, it sounds like you came home to your own truth by experiencing the theater and the plays that they were presenting and seeing the way they turned their heads and that everything was connected and meaningful. So you have this profound experience, and how does it translate for you out into the world at that age?
Well, I came home to my own truth. I also came home to my own culture, and it was bizarre. It was like having culture shock for the first time. And in all my travels to all those foreign lands, and I come home and there's culture shock finally, because things were so arbitrary and strange. So really what I'd come home with was this ability to question the very assumptions that lived in my body. And I was sort of obsessed with finding the paradigms that lived in my neurology that were hampering my freedom. And you know, that in itself was a long journey, but I couldn't have made that journey if I hadn't learned so much from so many other cultures that ultimately exposed the modes of thinking and the assumptions in my culture that I just habituated to growing up.
Amazing. Really amazing that at a young age, what a gift to give yourself to totally change the trajectory of your life and how you experience life, and then take it out into the world and offer that to others so they too can experience their own version of that change, that embodiment, the coming home to their own truth. I really appreciate that idea. And we are going to be taking a quick break. When we come back, speaking with Philip Shepherd, we're going to be talking about a storehouse of ancient wisdom provided by myth and some connections with his amazing new book called Radical Wholeness. You're listening to Dare to Dream Radio. Join me after the show on Facebook at Dare to Dream Radio and TV. We'll be right back.
Tell the world about your product or business. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. The award-winning program is syndicated on over 60 stations, has a big following, and large listenership. If you're ready to expand your reach, become a sponsor or advertiser on Dare to Dream Radio. Best rates, great results. Email ads@debbiedashinger.com. That's ads@debbiedashinger.com.
MyBestsellerBook.com helps you self-publish and you keep all the royalties. Even if your book is already published, MyBestsellerBook.com will help you become a best-selling author. Your book will be promoted to a large global following. Enjoy a press release and book reviews. Make your next book launch bigger and better. MyBestsellerBook.com has long-term client credibility and 100% success in turning books into bestsellers. MyBestsellerBook.com.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness, the Bars. The Bars is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head that, when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and, as a result, cannot change. The Bars is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a Bars session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator, to schedule a private session, or to find a Bars class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free, non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
What is LinkedIn and why should you be on it? Wondering what in the world people use LinkedIn for? You will be surprised how much is available on this popular business social network. Go to www.yourconnectionconsultant.com. Did you know that 64% of all social media traffic to websites is driven by LinkedIn? Rhonda Scher, known as the LinkedIn Diva, will explain how to double your business using LinkedIn. Don't be left out. Learn how to leverage LinkedIn today. Rhonda Scher, the LinkedIn expert, is your connection consultant at www.yourconnectionconsultant.com.
If you're tuning in after we've started, this is Debbie Dashinger on Dare to Dream Radio, and I'm interviewing Philip Shepherd. You can find him at philipshepherd.com. Philip, I want to start with this. In your book, Radical Wholeness, on page 145, you refer to a storehouse of ancient wisdom provided by myth. And you write the following quote from your book: "Myth resonates with the predicaments of our human condition, and one of its most prominent themes is the age-old struggle within us between the desire to forget and the desire to remember. The tyrant, in his opposition to reality, denies wholeness and enforces forgetfulness. The hero, by submitting to wholeness, facilitates a deep remembering." Talk about this duality between the control and the freedom, the wholeness, the forgetfulness.
Yeah, it just speaks to the heart of, you know, I spoke of the cultural conditioning that I had to undo within myself. And so much of that, in hindsight, I'm able to see as our culture's aspirations towards the dreams of the tyrant. And it's hard, it's such a big thing, it's hard to really focus in on it, but Joseph Campbell, a great mythologist, was so astute when he wrote about the tyrant. And he wrote about the tyrant, he described him as the man of self-achieved independence. And that's how he characterized the tyrant. And you think of that phrase, the man of self-achieved independence, you know, that sounds pretty good to us. Self-achieved independence. I mean, that could be a description of the American dream. Mm. You know, to have enough money that you're independent. You've got that mansion on the hill with the security and the everything else. But that's the stickiness of the tyrant's dream, and it's a fantasy. It's a dream of forgetfulness because there is no such thing as independence. There is no example in the cosmos of independence. Everything leans on everything. Everything depends on everything. And when we grow up in our culture, what we grow into is aloneness. Because we've got this ideal of independence, and we're taken as seedlings and stuck in a pot of aloneness and said, grow there. And so we develop this sense that our experience is private, exclusively, when all experience is shared. But when you feel that your experience is private, then your primary job in life becomes to manage your experience, to make it feel better, to make it more successful. And that management of personal experience within the independence you feel from the world is ultimately a state of self-consciousness. We spend day in, day out in self-consciousness managing ourselves, and even in our aspirations to do better, you can see that what much of the self-help industry is pointing to is saying, you know, the way you're managing yourself is faulty. You need to manage yourself in this way instead. You need this set of ideas instead. Then you'll be able to manage yourself better. And, you know, that's all of that is about the tyrant, and all of that shuts the world in darkness because we're so busy supervising the self that it's like taking the searchlight of your attention and taking it away from the world onto the self, and it's an impoverished existence. The hero, by contrast, and this sounds weird in our culture, but the hero, by contrast, Joseph Campbell described as the man of self-achieved submission. That sounds weird because submission in our culture is like the ultimate failure, but it's not. It's the heroic submission is not a submission to tyranny or to force or to idea. The hero's submission is just to what is. Recently reread The Odyssey, and in this translation, Emily Wilson's translation, somebody addresses Odysseus and says, Odysseus, you're known as the man who can adapt to anything. I found that really curious because we're so used to resisting the present. And to be able to adapt to anything is to be able to be present to anything. And that requires a submission. And even, you know, ultimately to submit to what is in that way, to submit to the present in that way, is to submit to your own wholeness. And wholeness, again, is something our culture has lost sight of. It's part of the forgetfulness of the tyrant. The tyrant utterly forgets the whole as he seeks to become independent. And the remembrance of the hero is not to achieve wholeness, because you can't do that. You can't achieve what you already have. So if there's no instance of independence anywhere in the universe, the implication is you are embedded in wholeness. You can't escape it. You are living it. But what you can do is desensitize yourself to it. And so that heroic journey is an undoing of those patterns that armor us and hold us in a sense of aloneness from the world, so that through that submission we can take the searchlight that's shut the world in darkness and is aimed at ourselves and turn it once more on the world and come back into felt relationship with it. And as we come back into felt relationship with the world, we begin to feel its guidance just as surely as in the Odyssey, Odysseus continuously feels the guidance of the goddess Athena.
This is incredible, and I want to reiterate some of what you said, and then I have a point about this. So the myth speaks to our human condition and the struggle, and therein the tyrant specifically has a fantasy around being independent, that they are having an exclusive experience, and therefore they manage their experience, and in doing so they shut the world out in darkness, and they're very busy supervising their own self. And just a little reflection here, I have, because I'm interviewed all the time as well on media, you know, the story, tell me about where you came from, what's been your journey, and I always use these words because I came from an interesting background, a family that, you know, father was not there, mother, God bless her, raising two kids, but, you know, she had a lot of trouble showing up in any emotional capacity or to really, you know, there was a lot of oxygen taken from the room, let's just say that. Mm-hmm. And so I have said so many times to people, oh, I was terribly shy for many decades. I was very awkward. I tried to think of these words to describe, because nobody almost could believe who I am today and what it was like then. Many years of healing and work and really being aligned to have my best possible life. So I have had this aha moment literally in the past few months where I saw very strongly the matrix, and it was not about awkwardness, it was self-consciousness. That's all I felt, was like there was a camera outside of me constantly watching me. I was never present. I was always watching myself doing life and having all sorts of thoughts about it, or directions about what to do to, dear God, fit in, you know, dear God, figure it out, woman. And a very painful way to be, incredibly full of pain. And so I hear you say this, and it's deeply resonating on that aha that I had, that I was living like a tyrant. So on top of whatever pain I was living with, I was also terrible to myself. And feeling I was having this exclusive managed experience, but really I was living in darkness.
Yeah, and you know, when you live in self-consciousness in that way, it's like, it reminds me of quantum physics, where if you you know, a light is like a wave until you look at it. And the moment you look at it, it becomes a thing. And when we have our attention on ourselves, we become mechanical things that we're trying to operate. Mm-hmm. And it's such a different thing to join the fluidity of the present without any self-consciousness and to ride it the way a surfer rides a wave. Mm. That's, you know, to speak in terms of freedom and in terms of a yearning for freedom, the ultimate prison is self-consciousness. Mm. And the ultimate liberty is world consciousness, where you give yourself and your attention fully to the world, to the present, and you just start to dance with it.
Oh, my goodness. So on the opposite spectrum, you're talking about the hero, the myth of the hero, which you say is self-achieved submission. We submit to what is present and be present to anything and our interdependence, our own wholeness, our world consciousness. I'm wondering, so that we can see and be more illuminated about what it's like to be a tyrant and then have a healing around that to become more of a hero in life. Anyone you've worked with, Philip, I know you have many clients worldwide and you teach workshops worldwide. Is there a real world example or client example that you can give of this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are lots of them. You know, I'm thinking of a woman in Belgium who was steeped in she was desperate to find her freedom, and you know she had intensive training over years in mindfulness, and it was you know, the training she received was about, you know, noticing the breath, noticing the grain of the wood, noticing the breeze, being mindful of it all, but in the meantime, you're sitting in your head. So to be mindful in our culture can so easily turn into a reinforcement of the very paradigm that is imprisoning us. And so what she learned, you know, we spent some weeks in coaching sessions, and what she got to was this place, this deep, deep place within herself. Now, this is going back to the Japanese concept of hara, that when you return to that place of your truth, there is no aloneness. There is just felt relationship, and there's no need for self-consciousness, because ultimately, the world around you is more interesting than what you think about your own thoughts. Right? And so she, you know, she basically found her, she was torturing herself with trying to sort out her ideas about the world and how to live in a way that felt good. And basically, we let go of all that and came home to the body, and it's just a profound groundedness in herself she found that, you know, in her words, she will never, ever stray from.
I'm so curious. I have certainly had moments, weeks, where I've been 100% here and very submissive, as you have said, submitting to exactly everything in the now. But an entire lifetime, no. I'm curious, do you spend all your time there? And what is that like?
Well, it's a hell of a lot easier. So here's the crux of it, is that, you know, what I discovered having come back from my bike trip and then, you know, questioning it over years, is that there is a primary wound in our culture between our thinking and our being. We have been systematically taught that you can think more clearly with a small portion of your intelligence than you can with the whole of your being. So we divide our thinking, and, you know, that's what the school system is designed to do to us, to suppress the body's energy and its intelligence, because if you don't, you'll get in trouble, and to fill your head with ideas, and then you'll succeed. And so this divide between the thinking and the being means that your thinking is happening in the abstract realm of the head. Meanwhile, there is all this coursing intelligence through the body. And what happens in the journey towards embodiment, as I understand it, is those intelligences unify. And then every thought you have resonates through the body as though the body were a bell. And you feel it in the clarity of the body. And every sensation in the body is felt and understood as a form of thinking. And so within that unity of thought and being, there is no aloneness, because your being isn't what's held within the envelope of your skin. Your being is literally what you discover when you're fully present. Your being isn't independent of the world. It is utterly dependent on it. You're called into existence through relationship. Your relationship with the breeze, with the sky, with the neighbor, with the whatever. The more deeply you come into felt relationship with those around you and the world around you, the more deeply who you are is illuminated. And then aloneness is shown to be a figment. And you abide in companionship. And you notice, you know, for yourself, I'm hoping this resonates with you, that you can feel the body's energy settled and in contact with the earth. Or you can feel it kind of become jittery and rise into the chest and even higher. Well, the higher your body's energy rises, the more alone you feel in the world. If you are living in your head, you will feel alone. It's just the way our intelligence works. If you can take your body's energy and give it the grace and permission to allow it to settle into the present. And actually, you can feel that happen in the body. You can feel it settling, and coming to rest on the soles of your feet. You join that companionship that is always there.
Yes, and this separation and aloneness seems to be one of the problems that people are experiencing at a very painful, isolated level today. And it's creating a lot of the violence and the aberrations out there and a lot of the sadness and depression. So when we come back, we're going to be speaking with Philip about what is the idea of re-embodied wholeness and intelligence. What does that look like? And maybe he can teach us a little bit about this principle. So you're going to want to stick around. Listen, you can subscribe to Dare to Dream with Debbie Dashinger. Go to iTunes, Spreaker, YouTube. We're out there syndicated quite a bit. Leave a review and subscribe. Trust me, it counts. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Are you suffering from headaches, backaches, joint or muscle pain that's hurting your work performance? Todd Nelson is a naturopath who for 36 years has helped employees, executives, and entrepreneurs alleviate the chronic pain that kills their work performance, naturally, without depending on dangerous medications. In Todd's new report, No Pain Equals More Gain, he shares 6 major steps you can take today to start reducing pain and increasing performance. You can get this free report right now by going to nopainmoregain.net. That's nopainmoregain.net. Stop letting pain get in the way of your peak performance at work. Learn how to start working and living pain-free naturally right now at nopainmoregain.net.
Wine lovers, how would you like to be part of the best wine club in the world? You can have your own business in wine, and we take all the guesswork out of it. To learn more, go to directsellers.com/Deb's Wine Wonders. Is one of the most inexpensive ways to create an explosive business of your very own. We take out the guesswork and all of the headaches of building, starting, and implementing a new business. It's all done for you. You'll have your own back office, marketing materials, videos, and everything you need in order to share and build your own business. It's so easy. You can even sit back and enjoy our wines, because your wines will come to you free. We have invested so much time and 20 years of experts in selecting the most incredible, exquisite wines from all over the world that everyone enjoys, and they're at below retail prices. They'll also receive tasting notes in the magical box of wines. It'll have details of the regions, the history where the wine came, and even food and wine pairing recommendations. So entrust us with picking and choosing the most amazing wines. Deliver them to your customers' homes or business. Remember, there's nothing you need to do but just sign up and start your business right away. Go to directsellers.com/Deb's Wine Wonders. directcellars.com/Deb's Wine Wonders and start your wine business today.
What if there's nothing wrong with you? What if you're far greater than you've ever given yourself credit for? What if it's time to know the gift and the contribution you are to the world, and to like yourself a lot more? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything changed for me. Asking questions opens doors to infinite possibilities. And it's not about finding the answer. It's about being the question. Always. What I'm inviting you to step into is something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Gandhi, Picasso, and Aristotle all knew to be true. What if no question is too big or too small? What if anything is possible for you? What if together we could create a kinder, gentler, happier world? Is now the time? Go to beingyouclass.com and sign up for a free video series, My Gift to You. Beingyouclass.com. What if you, truly being you, are the gift and change this world requires? Beingyouclass.com.
If you're tuning in after we've started, this is Debbie Dashinger on Dare to Dream Radio. I'm interviewing Philip Shepherd, who's an internationally recognized embodiment expert and the author of Radical Wholeness. Philip, so I do want to speak to the idea of re-embodied wholeness and intelligence. What does that actually mean in your workshops and for your clients when you teach that principle?
It's such a great question because, you know, people say, what do you mean by embodiment to me? And to me, embodiment is just accessing the whole of your intelligence. But then, you know, the way we conceptualize intelligence is just so damaging. We're taught that intelligence is the ability to reason in an abstract fashion. And somebody gives you an IQ test, that's the ability they're testing, and then they hand you a number and say, that's your intelligence. And it's absurd. Abstract reasoning is certainly one part of our intelligence, but it's like this narrow little bandwidth on this massive spectrum. And so to really understand what human intelligence is, I start with sensitivity, and I don't think there's any sensitivity that is not a form of intelligence, whether it's to a child's tears or to bird song or to arithmetic relationship or color or music, I mean, whatever it is, it's a form of intelligence. Now, the thing about sensitivity on its own is that sensitivity is necessarily reactive. So if the eye didn't react to light, we wouldn't see. And that reactivity then needs to be grounded. And groundedness just means it's embedded in the whole. So a sensitivity that is grounded is what I understand as intelligence. And, you know, there are people who are told, oh, you're too sensitive. I don't think there's such a thing. I think these people are just raised in a culture that is maybe the most ungrounded culture that has ever been on the face of this earth, and they haven't learned how to ground that precious sensitivity. So we're, as a culture, we're very, 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 very clever, but we've forgotten how to live intelligently. Oh. We are ungrounded and desensitized. Mm. And if intelligence is grounded sensitivity, then that's where we've got to start. And none of that. Groundedness is in the body. Sensitivity is in the body. You can't have grounded sensitivity. You can't come into your full intelligence without the body.
100%. And so many people who listen to the show, come on the show, are gifted. They are clairvoyant, clairsentient. They're psychics, they're mediums. They were born with gifts almost to a person. They were denied when they were children. It's very rare somebody says they were supported and nurtured in that. And I see that as akin to what you're talking about, that this is also a deep sensitivity that we were taught to disown and that was strange in an ungrounded world, when in fact you're saying this is an intelligence we were given. This is an extra sense of sensitivity for us to process what goes on in the world. It's actually a gift to ourselves.
Yeah, and what the world is crying out for our sensitivity. It's not crying out for us to be more clever. It's crying out for our sensitivity. And meanwhile, we're putting all our eggs in the basket of developing new technologies. And what's needed is a new way of being. And until we come into that, we will be driven by that inner craving that cannot ever get enough.
Mm. Yes, yes, yes. I want to talk a little bit because about your being an actor, because, for me, when I saw your bio, I was like, what? That is so cool. I didn't know you'd been a working actor your whole life. And that is a great fact. Just so people know, in films, you've had a co-starring role with Mandy Patinkin. Cannot say enough about him, major fan. Delroy Lindo, a role with John Voight. You did a miniseries in Ecuador. My goodness. So let's bring this from the past to the present. You're young. You go to the No Theater. You have this enormous change. You're gone for 2 years. You come back here, and you're an actor. So now having this embodiment, this intelligent sensitivity, this ability to submit and be interdependent. How did that change your abilities as an actor, Philip, or how you showed up for acting jobs?
Yeah, my benchmark for acting, my benchmark for theater was the Japanese No Theater. And so here I was in the Western tradition, drawing on the principles of embodiment and sensitivity and groundedness that were exemplified by No Theater. And it took me a long time, and running an interdisciplinary theater and studying physical theater and working with geniuses in world physical theater. But so I didn't find my way alone. It was facilitated by amazing people that I crossed paths with, and ultimately, what I came into was rooted in the foundation of No Theater, and then supported by every single experience I've had as an actor.
Mm.
My personal freedom, in a way, was won on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
I know you understand what I mean by that.
Deeply, yes. Very interesting, very interesting. And of course, that's the greatest gift as an actor, to have that freedom and fluidity that you can really allow yourself to go and to explore. So kudos, and I hope very much to be able to see you sometime. We've got just a few minutes left, so I want to see if we can lightning round a couple of questions. This is Dare to Dream. What are you next, Dare to Dream, Philip? What are your future dreams or goals?
I just look at the world around me, and I see this deep, deep need to come back to the body. And I will do anything I can to, bring my work into the world to facilitate that for whoever is interested in it or curious about it. So I'm training teachers to teach my work around the world, and I continue to do workshops. And
Where can people find out about your workshops? Where can they get your book, Radical Wholeness, and attend your workshops?
Yeah, my book is distributed by Random House, so it's available virtually anywhere, Amazon certainly, but also hopefully your local bookstore. And all of the information about my workshops is on my website, philipshepherd.com.
You know, Philip, I'm just going to end with this, something really interesting. Three radio shows ago, previous to this one, I interviewed a NAME expert by the name of Sharon Lynn Wyeth. Fascinating woman. And she described people according to the first vowel in their name. And she also described that people who have a name with SH in it are people who must have freedom. I paid attention because my dog's name is Shelby. So an SH, she said, likes to fly in and out. She said, otherwise they feel like a caged bird. They feel that life should be with no demands or expectations, and they prefer their life like that. And of course, I thought of you, Philip Shepherd, because freedom has been dominant in your life, and I found that so interesting, eh?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, that's brilliant. And the curious thing about freedom is that it's the most direct path into service that I've ever found.
Hmm. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. It has been an honor.
It's been a joy.
I end today's show with this quote from Philip Shepherd's book, Radical Wholeness. There is a gravity that is calling to your heart and that loves you in all your brokenness. It is gently inviting you into a dance of surrender to your wholeness, a surrender to its freedom, passions, and luminous truth, and to its provisions for unconditional service. That dance of surrender does not end, and it isn't without risk. But it is a dance that could not be more deeply grounded in the security of being. And when you take a chance on that dance and venture even one step into its wild peace, you'll be helping us all. Next week on Dare to Dream, I'm featuring Anthony Treyas, who is an Iraq War veteran, and he's today on a mission to radically change men's mental health. His mission in Iraq was to provide personal security for U.S. generals and government officials, and now his mission, totally different. He inspires men to reclaim their health, adventure, and purpose. He's a very well-known man's coach, and I look forward to that conversation. Subscribe to the podcast channel. Watch the inspirational YouTube videos at youtube.com/debontheradio and dream big, people. Remember, the secret of success is having the courage to begin in the first place.
To contact the award-winning syndicated Dare to Dream radio show, go to debbiedashinger.com. Keep your excellent feedback and comments coming. Your host, Debbie Dashinger, is an expert at goal achievement, a media personality, an international best-selling author, and a keynote speaker. Debbie leads high-quality teleseminars on how to achieve goals, how to be a self-published best-selling author, and how to get booked on radio. All classes are at debbiedashinger.com. Debbie's best-selling books are Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, sold on Amazon, and her second book, Wisdom to Success, The Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams, sold online at all bookstores. Tune in again to hear the next inspiring interview guest who has turned their vision into a successful reality. Want more support in making your dreams come true? Go to debbiedashinger.com. That's www.debbiedashinger.com. You'll see videos, MP3s, archived interviews, and amazing products sharing the secret steps to making your dreams come true. Remember to dream big with every expectation that your dream will become real. Dreams are free, so free your dreams. What do you dare to dream?
Here I'm standing now, waiting for my time. to be all that I can be. It's so easy to forget. Life is in my hands, and I can change it if I want. Nothing's impossible, no.